Nobody is naturally born as a Christian. A man becomes a Christian. Now, a person can be born in a Christian home, and you can be brought up in a Christian home so that you can hear the things of God and of the Lord all the days of your life, so that you can learn about the Lord Jesus Christ as a little child. And I can't help but feel that a child has a blessed experience if it has learned to sing in its own home, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." It's a wonderful thing when little children are told the story that God Almighty is the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior of those who put their trust in Him. And especially if a child can learn this when there's evidence that the father and mother humbly trust in God through the Lord Jesus Christ, is a wonderful blessing for a child. But not everyone has that. There are people who grow up to manhood without such faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, even if they've heard about Him, and some haven't even heard about Him. I expect there are a great many people in our country. They've seen churches, they've seen cathedrals, they've even seen synagogues, and they know about them, but they've seen barracks, and they're not in the army. They've seen military installations out at the airport, they're not in the Air Force. And they have seen, perhaps, big steel factories, and they're not steel workers. So they've seen churches, and they're not Christians. They just dismiss it just like that. It's just not one of the things they've gotten into. Now, when a person like that's going to become a Christian, you take a person from the outside going to become a Christian, it's a real problem as to how do you become a Christian. I expect that a great many people would be inclined to think that you become a Christian by the things you do. And I know many times one hears this kind of thing. Well, I'm just going to change my ways. I'm going to turn over a new leaf, and I'll be a Christian. And I expect a good many people feel that if they've been accustomed to being dishonest, they're going to stop lying. And if they've been accustomed to being selfish, they're going to stop being selfish. If they've been, if they've taken things that didn't belong to them, they're not going to steal anymore. And if they have been using profanity, they're not going to swear anymore. And if they have been indulging themselves in various forms of appetite, they won't get drunk anymore. They'll just do various things that they just won't do that's bad. They just won't do that anymore. And then they're going to be Christian. Now, mind you, everything I've talked about would be a fine thing if they quit, but that wouldn't make them Christian. And this is what we're now learning in the book of Acts. We have been studying together in the book of Acts how people have become believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And just now we're in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts. And we have a man before us that we're looking at. His name is Cornelius. He doesn't fit into, he scarcely fits into anything that I said, because this was a good man. He was a man who prayed to God always and gave alms to the poor. Now think about it. He was a man who fasted and prayed and gave alms to the poor. And yet this man was not a Christian. And you might say to me, well, what in the world does it take to be a Christian? And that's what I want to talk about. If you could be good, you'd be good. If you could be righteous, you'd be righteous. And if you could be righteous in your own strength, we'd call that your righteousness. And by the way, have this in mind, that being a Christian doesn't mean you're going to imitate Jesus Christ. No, being a Christian means that you're going to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation and for your righteousness and for your life. You're going to depend on the living Lord Jesus Christ. That the person who is a Christian is a person who believes that Jesus of Nazareth was the Christ, the Son of the living God, that He came into this world for us to seek and to save the lost, that He came to give His life a ransom for many, that He died for us, and whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's where you start the whole business, is putting your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here we are in the story of Cornelius, and in the 10th chapter, we're at the 30th verse, right about the middle of it. Now, the story as it went along, you will remember, in the early part of this chapter, the 10th chapter, you will remember that Cornelius was a man, a good man, who prayed to God always, gave alms to the poor, and on a certain day, while he was praying to God, an angel came and told him to send to the city of Joppa for a person called Simon Peter, and that man would come and tell him what he ought to do. And he sent his three people, two of his servants and an old soldier, a trusted soldier, and he sent these three people over there to get this man, Simon Peter. You will remember the story goes that Simon Peter had a vision, and in this vision, one idea was impressed upon his mind. What God had cleansed, he was not to call common. The language is a little difficult for us. It amounts to this, that what God had cleansed and accepted, Peter was not to treat as if it was improper and that it should be thrown away. If God received anything, Peter should receive it. That seemed to be the way in which it was. And then it came to Peter that these three men were coming to ask him, and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, told Peter, they'll ask you to go with them, you go with them, nothing doubting. Now, these three men were Gentiles, and it was not the social custom of the day that the Jewish people would go in to be socially in fellowship with Gentiles. It says here, you know how it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come unto one of another nation. And that was the way in which it was. But Peter had been shown that God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. I'm reading in the 28th verse. So in verse 29 I read, therefore Peter writes, Peter said, came I unto you without gainsaying as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore, for what intent have you sent for me? So he asked Cornelius, what did you want me to come for? And so in verse 30, we have the answer from Cornelius. 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour, that's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Now I cannot stop at every moment to look in every direction, but I must stop here for you to just to recognize you're going to see a man becoming a Christian. And what do you already see? A man who believes in God. And not only that, a man who has dealings with God. And God has dealings with this man. And he sends a messenger to him, a special messenger. And this is what he said. Thy prayer is heard. Thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. On account of your life, on account of your praying, on account of your giving to the poor, on these things, God's going to do something special for you. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Now, may I suggest to you that this special favor that God showed to Cornelius was, it was special. This doesn't have to happen to everybody. This happened to Cornelius, and there's something going to be revealed here that anybody can share. And it came to Cornelius in a special way. Verse 33, immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. And he's calling on this preacher, you preach, we're here to listen. Now remember what we're going to find out. We're going to find out how a man becomes a Christian. And here's a preacher called on to preach. Now what do you think he's going to talk about? I want you to watch very closely. What do you think he's going to talk about? Listen to him. Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Actually, God is gracious to all men, that's true. But he will have special favor for those who sincerely seek his face. They may not know what they're going to get, but they really want to have God. God knows it. And then he goes on to speak about the Lord Jesus Christ. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say you know, because Cornelius was acquainted with it, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. In the 3 years' time the Lord Jesus was preaching, many people had heard about this prophet of Nazareth, and the word had gone out, the kind of preaching that he was doing. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. Now mind you, up till now, what is referred to is that Jesus of Nazareth had been blessed of God, had been empowered of God, he had gone about working miracles and doing good among the people, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. That's the crucifixion. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. That's the resurrection. not to all people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. There's the testimony. He was literally, really raised from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people, and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. Quick means alive. The alive and the dead. This is the message. Jesus Christ is judge of all the earth. Every human being is going to have to come to terms with him. We can come to him now and confess our sins and trust in him, or we can stay away like a rebel and be brought in when we die into his presence and he'll be our judge. But we're going to have to meet him. God hath appointed a day when he will judge the whole earth by the righteousness of that man whom he hath ordained. To him give all the prophets witness, in verse 43 we read, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins, the Holy Spirit fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. Pentecost had happened. As many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now we're going to talk more about that in days to come, but what that means to say is this. The Holy Spirit wouldn't have been poured out on unbelieving men. It meant these people believed. It meant these people had the grace to receive the truth. And the Holy Spirit's coming was the evidence of it. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnified God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. And so I have read rapidly through this latter part to bring out to you that what really brought these people to be Christians was to believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. Our God and Heavenly Father, strengthen our faith and incline us to walk close to thee. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.